Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This. What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
All right, hour two of the program. We started Red Sox. We can do that all day long if you like. I want to get to a few football things here this hour, though. And the first one is this. It's a little bit of a longer exercise, but we did it yesterday, not the last couple of days, on different positions in the NFL. We did it on backup quarterback, of all things, a couple of days ago. Yesterday, we did it on starting quarterback. We did this thing. I have this feeling about the quarterback position in the NFL that feels unprecedented in my lifetime, where if you're a fan of a certain team in the NFL, you probably feel okay about your quarterback spot. Like, there's very few fan bases in the league that probably hate their quarterback right now, the quarterback situation, because either you've got a guy who can play the position now, or you've drafted someone in the first round in the last year or two or three, and you still have the future guy. So when you just go across the league,
a lot of reason for optimism there.
I mean, there really is. Or you either have an established guy who can play, and even if he's at the end, like Eli Manning or Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady or Drew Brees or one of those guys, you're set for this year. And if you're not one of those teams, and maybe you've had a sucky quarterback situation the last several years, well, you've got, name it, Rosen, Allen, Mariota, Winston, Trubisky. Let's go down the line. 15 quarterbacks. 15 teams have drafted quarterbacks in the first round the last couple of years. So there's either an established guy on just about every team or a high first-round pick coming up. And when you look at it, I mean, I think when we went through the entire list of 32 teams, Murray, there are only like, I don't know, maybe three teams, and we debated which ones they are. But, you know, we only come up with like three or four teams where you say, well, their quarterback situation just sucks.
Yeah, Denver, Miami, Cincinnati, you can make an argument for suckiness.
Yes, for suckiness. And even there, Tannehill, I'm sorry, is a legit NFL starter. And Andy Dalton is a legit NFL starter. I'm not a great starter. I didn't say great, but, you know, a guy that...
He's your baseline for like your average NFL starting quarterback.
Right, exactly. And you agree that Dalton and Tannehill are in that same...
I think they're like the same guy.
Okay. And Case Keenum, I think, is below that. So, you know, the Broncos, I think, are the closest to not having a real NFL quarterback either now or in the future. But even then, Case Keenum put up huge numbers last year and went to the NFC title game. So I just think it feels like a really interesting year for NFL quarterbacks. There's a lot out there. A lot of meat on the bone. And then I said, if we did the same thing with coaches, would we find the same thing? And I said, no way, because I think the coaching in the league is a disaster. But when I went through the list, Murray, and started looking at it, you know, there might be hope. I was pleasantly surprised. So you want to do it real quickly right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so this is the question. It's not, is he a great coach or not? That's not what we're debating. There's only one great coach in the league. Everybody else, we kind of hate, right? Everyone else kind of sucks next to Bill. So we're not saying, is he great or not? We're saying, if you take out the Belichick comparison, don't compare these guys to Bill. Just compare them to the rest of the field, or if you're a fan of this team and this is your coach, how do you feel about it? Okay, let's go. And this is alphabetical order. How's that? Arizona, Steve Wilks. You even know who that is, Hook?
No.
Okay, first-year coach, former defensive backs coach and defensive coordinator in Carolina. Steve Wilks, defensive guy, first-year head coach in Arizona. How should you feel about it?
Reason for optimism. It's new blood.
Okay, I would feel horrible about it.
Well, we're off to a good start here.
Well, but let me tell you why. There's some first-year coaches that I have a glimpse of hope for. The defensive guys, the young defensive guys, when you've just drafted a quarterback four overall in Josh Rosen, and it's a quarterback league and an offensive league, I'm like, I don't know, man. A former defensive back coach, defensive coordinator for only a couple of years in Carolina, like, so I'm a no on Steve Wilks. If you're Atlanta and Dan Quinn is your coach, how do you feel?
I think you feel pretty good. He's a fatter, balder Pete Carroll, but he did just get into a Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
So, I mean, Hook, you're going to have to break the tie. Steve Wilks, you feel
good? Yeah, no, I feel Wilks I don't know anything about, so whatever. I'm with you on him then.
If you're okay, so no, negative. Thank you. So if you're a fan of Arizona, do you have confidence in this or not?
Yeah, no.
You're going to say no. Dan Quinn, yes, you have to.
Yes.
Even though I think, you know, he's kind of corny. He's
corny
and kind of a bozo, and boy, did he blow that Super Bowl. But, you know, okay, fine. Dan Quinn, I'll give you. If you're in Baltimore and John Harbaugh is your coach, how do you feel?
I feel bad about it. They have missed the playoffs now for what? How many seasons in a row?
So you think
it's been ages since they've been to that Super Bowl. I think fans are done with John Harbaugh.
So if you're a Baltimore fan, you look at it and say, Harbaugh's going to hurt us.
Yeah.
Do you?
At this point, I say yes. I think this should be his last season. I was surprised he wasn't ousted this past season.
I still think he's a good coach.
I think he's a top five coach of the league.
Okay, which is he might be, and that's a statement on coaching in the league, but I think.
I lose on that one.
I'm still a plus on him. The Bills, Sean McDermott.
I'm a yes on him. They just went to the playoffs for the first time in 20-some-odd years.
Yes. Yeah,
nothing not to like there.
I think you have to. I mean, there are things not to like. But when you're in Buffalo and you haven't been to the playoffs this millennium, and he takes over and this first year gets you to the playoffs, you feel good about your coach. You just do. If you're in Carolina, do you feel good about Ron Rivera?
See, this is another guy I think it's overstayed his welcome. But he was just in the Super Bowl, what, 3 seasons ago? So, yes-ish.
Yeah, I mean, he's
comparatively speaking,
it's hard, right?
He's probably better than what you could get to replace him.
See, I'm a no. So, like, if I'm a Carolina fan, I look at him and I say, that's one of the reasons we won't be as good as we can be. So I'm a no on him, but you two are a yes. See, that's a tough one, right?
I don't feel good about it.
He's a plus.
Put me down as a yes.
Okay, Chicago has Matt Nagy. You know who that is, Hook?
I don't.
First year former quarterback coach, offensive coordinator in Kansas City. Reared.
Was this the guy that Bedard loved? Oh, no, that was Dave Tube.
This is some special teams coach. So this is a offensive coach who was schooled in the Andy Reid school for the last several years in Kansas City.
Then, yeah, I think that's better than average.
So
yeah.
This is a guy that I feel good about because...
QB coach for Mitch Trubisky.
They just drafted a quarterback. This guy came from the Andy Reid system. And Andy Reid, I don't love as a head coach, but as an offensive coach and a quarterback coach, I think is exceptional. I mean, he really is. He turned Donovan McNabb, who I think sucks, into a borderline Hall of Famer. And Alex Smith turned into, you know, so if Matt Nagy's going to have that Andy Reid thing, I have reason for optimism with Matt Nagy. If you're in Cincinnati, Marvin Lewis is your coach.
Hard no. He is only there because the owner is the cheapest owner in the league and doesn't want to make a change.
Hard no. If you're in Dallas and Jason Garrett is your coach, how do you feel about it?
I want him out too. He's a puppet.
Hard no for me too. Even though they've won a bunch of games. I look at it and I say, Jason Garrett's one of the reasons they're not going to be as good as they can be.
Yeah, I used to be really high on him, and then he's failed to do anything.
If you're in Denver, Vance Joseph.
I am stunned he didn't lose his job after 1 year.
He might be the worst in
the
league.
He's on top of the world or whatever that guy
having the time of his life.
There he is, sucking. Detroit, Matt Patricia.
You got to feel good about it coming from the Patriots tree, all the success that they've had recently. Now, granted, those branches of the Belichick tree usually haven't worked out as head coaches, but reason for optimism there.
Was there a lot to love about the Patriots defense?
I mean,
what's the last thing that you saw from Matt Patricia?
Oh, no, it wasn't good, Hook. Just trying to be optimistic here.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I'm a Detroit fan and, you know, we're a team that's gone nowhere for a long time, maybe at the start of the offseason when we first signed up Matt Patricia, I'm like, oh, a guy coming from the Patriots, this sounds great. And then his team got waxed.
Okay, so I'm a no, but fans in Detroit probably look at it and say, we have a shot here because here comes a Belichick guy.
And he looks just like us.
But forgetting the fact that just about every single Belichick guy who's gone out in the league has failed. So I'm a no. Again, defensive guy, first-year coach, Belichick guy. Those guys have almost across the board done nothing. Sucked. Packers, Mike McCarthy.
Oh, you tell me.
I feel good.
I'm a no on him. How many drives are you going to stall with a fullback dive?
So look.
Fat idiot.
He's a...
Oh, he stinks.
He's so over... He's overrated. He doesn't stink. He's overrated. He's an NFL head coach. If he's your coach, you could be doing worse. I'm going to grudgingly say yes, but I think he's grossly overrated.
I don't know how that doesn't hurt your soul as a Packers fan.
I mean, I hate him. I hate him.
Oh, he's so bad.
But... He developed Aaron Rodgers. He won a Super Bowl. He's been to, I think, 3 or 4 NFC title games. Like, I mean,
all right.
I'm going to give him a plus. If you're in Houston, Bill O'Brien's your coach, how do you feel?
I think you feel okay about it, I think. I mean, the guy didn't put in Deshaun Watson to start last year. People kind of forget that.
Oh, they do. So another guy who's overrated. The media loves him because he's good to the writers, Bedard. But I think he's got... Is this a much tougher exercise, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. I mean, because you also look at, you know, how many of these guys are able to put together the teams that they have and how much of their success is predicated on what they're given to work with. I mean, this was the guy.
Thumbs up or down on Bill O'Brien?
I'm going to give it up.
Yeah, I'm up.
I'm a grudgingly thumbs up. Frank Reich in Indianapolis.
See, I think this is a plus because look at the play you just got out of the quarterbacks in Philadelphia. He was the QB coach there. Andrew Luck coming back, working with a new mentor here. Like, I feel optimistic about that.
I think the circumstances by which he got the job
right
makes it awfully difficult. Like, oh my God, we hired a guy and he's gone and now we have to find you, Frank, over here. Come on.
Okay, so I'm going to say no because I just don't have any read on it. I think Hook makes a good point. He comes from the Doug Peterson school, but I think the Eagles are a flash in the pan, frankly, and Peterson is a flash in the pan, so I'm just going to go zero, but how do we really know? I'm going to say, meaning thumbs down. If you're in Jacksonville, Doug Marone's your coach. How do you feel?
I think you feel pretty good. Which is shocking for me to say that Doug Marone is the guy that makes you feel good, but yeah.
Fine. If Andy Reid, your coach in Kansas City, how do you feel?
Still good.
Good enough.
I feel like I'm going to make the playoffs but not win anything in the playoffs, but he's got to be. He's a coach. If the Chargers and Anthony Lynn is your coach, how do you feel?
I think pretty good. Didn't they win 7 straight to finish the season?
Boy, congratulations for paying attention to that. I wasn't.
Yeah, no.
So yes or no? Yeah, thumbs down.
Yes.
Thumbs up.
He's a yes.
I'm thumbs up on it.
He is?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, fine. Rams, Sean McVay.
Big good. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. He's supposed to be the next big thing. Miami, Adam Gase.
Thumbs down.
Okay. No good. Vikings, Mike Zimmer.
Thumbs up.
Okay. Yeah. Saints, Sean Payton.
Thumbs up.
Yep.
Has to be. If you're the Giants and they've just hired Pat Shurmur, first-year offensive coach. He was, again, offensive coach in Minneapolis is what I mean to say. Had similar roles in Philly and Cleveland. Had some head coaching experience in Cleveland, I believe, was an interim guy for a while, maybe in Houston as well. So has some head coaching experience, offensive side of the ball. Had just coached up Case Keenum to the NFC title game. And you're the Giants. How do you feel about Pat Shurmur?
It's anyone that's not Ben McAdoo, so you feel good about it.
Yeah, 10-23, his record as a head coach.
So, like, I'm a no, but... I'm a no. What are you, Hook?
No. I mean, he's thumbs got a down. Hugely losing record.
Thumbs down. If you're the Jets and Todd Bowles is your coach, how do you feel?
Pretty good. That team shouldn't have won one game last year. What, they win 5?
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yeah, thumbs up.
Thumbs up. I'm not putting him in Canton or anything, but again, he had him sniffing the playoffs his first year, and then last year should have been a disaster, and it was something less than that. If you're the Raiders and John Gruden is your coach?
I guess you feel good about it. Guy's been out of the league almost 16, 17 years, whatever the hell it is, but... It's a name.
And this is my point.
Like, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement.
No, it's not. He's been out of the league for so long, so I think I am cautiously optimistic. It is John Gruden, obviously, so you have to feel good, but boy, would I not be surprised if it doesn't work out at all.
So I think, back to the way I framed it, the fans feel good about their coach in
Oakland. Yes, they do.
The Eagles feel good about their coach in Doug Peterson. The Steelers, do they feel good about Mike Tomlin?
I think they wanted his head on a platter after that loss to Jacksonville in the playoffs. I say no. If I'm a Steelers fan, I want him out. I want him out.
He should have gone a long time ago.
I'm a thumbs down, too.
All right.
If I'm a Pittsburgh fan with half a brain, I look at it and say that's one of the reasons we won't win the Super Bowl, not one of the reasons we will. Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers.
Thumbs up.
Okay, he just gets that rub, even though he's done nothing, but he gets that reputation vote. Seattle and Pete Carroll?
Thumbs up.
Yep.
Complete bozo, but Dirk Cotter in Tampa?
Thumbs down.
Mike Vrabel with Tennessee?
Incomplete. Yeah. We don't really know anything yet,
same
but
thing,
sure.
Same thing about it. I'm a zero. I'm a no. Thumbs down. Same things I said about Steve Wilkes. Unproven first-year defensive-minded coach coming to coach in a quarterback league with a young quarterback that has to be developed? No.
And how much coaching experience does he have just period?
No.
He was in Houston. He was at Ohio State.
He's a thumbs down for me.
But just as coordinators. So, yeah, I'm going to say thumbs down there.
Okay, Jay Gruden with the Skins.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's more coaches than you think that are acceptable.
You six, left seven, a couple
eight,
out.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And Bill Belichick makes 18.
You left another one out.
What?
You skipped over the Hugh Jackson.
Oh. Why did I do that? So that's
not really sure, but so I think everyone agrees on the answer on that one.
Yeah. So if you go by our consensus vote, 18 of the 30 of the 32 are acceptable. That's a bigger number than I thought.
Yeah, I thought it would have been around like 10.
I still think, but when we did quarterbacks, and again, either the guy starting or the future, we said that 28 of the 32 were good. So to me, there's way more good quarterbacks than good coaches. But maybe there's hope. Maybe there's starting to be hope. I mean, again, Vrabel to me is a thumbs down for now, but maybe he's the next big thing. And this Sean McVay is supposed to be the next big thing. And who knows about Pat Shurmur or any of these guys or Steve Wilks? Who knows? But I think when people say the league's in trouble or the league is has a lack of .. they don't have a lack of quarterbacks. There is a lot of quality starting quarterbacks or futures coming up. What they've lacked is coaches. But maybe that's changing too. Maybe that exercise shows you it's changing a little bit as well. So that's that. We have some more Patriots thoughts and anything you want, 617-779-0985. Open phones, grab them.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones as promised. Eddie is in the truck. He's been waiting patiently to talk Patriots. Eddie, go ahead.
Yeah, Felger.
Wow, that ain't going to work. You can call us back. 617-779-0985. You know the telephone number. Mike in Danvers has a baseball thought for us. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What do you got?
Now, listen, I usually make a call defending JBJ, and I'm going to do it again because I heard the previous show getting on him again, singling him out as usual, and you guys like to do that also, even though you haven't done it a little bit, but you have most of the baseball season.
Sure.
So the only thing I'm going to say, okay, the guy, number one, it's the intangibles with him, and I compare him to Sandy Leon because Sandy Leon is hitting .210, okay, but it's the intangibles. I mean, he knows how to handle the pitchers, calls good game, and he's smart. So that's why it's important to have him in that lineup and on the team. Same thing with JBJ. Quiet guy, doesn't, you know, get overexcited, keeps everybody in check. You never see the guy smiling, getting, you know, wee and hoorah. And I mean, he's a very stable guy, great defensive player. Yeah, he doesn't hit that well, but it's the intangibles with
doesn't
him.
And hit I just that like well. You to. Mike, to say he doesn't hit that well, thanks for the call. But to say he doesn't hit that well is sort of glossing over it, isn't it?
How does JBJ keep everybody in check?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get that either.
And he never smiles. Good, this is now a plus.
Good clubhouse presence.
What do you mean he never smiles?
That's what he said. He's on his list of things.
I know. Yeah, even keeled. He's out there dance, win, and repeat whatever that nonsense is. He was doing that.
I'm not going to get on him like Jones does at night. Like that's the sports vultures. Maybe his favorite target of all is Jackie Bradley Jr. and all his defenders. But he has been better since the All-Star break. I mean, that's statistically proven.
Okay.
But
well,
beyond that, do you trust this guy in a crucial situation come the playoffs?
Here's the thing, and I'm glad he brought up Sandy Leon. Sandy Leon, when he's in there, is involved in every single play, every pitch. So I'll take a catcher hitting .210, no problem. A center fielder? How many impact plays is he making a night? On a good night, he's making three? I mean, really? I mean, how many plays a night does a center fielder get where there's some sort of, in other words, he even has a chance to make a play that another guy can't make? I mean, if he's putting, you know, if he has seven putouts a night, which is a ton, but what if five of them are just easy catches that any center fielder gets? So, I mean, how many true plays a night is Jackie Bradley having for a chance to impact the game?
I'm going to go ahead and say it's less than one.
Thank you. I would say the same thing. Less than one a night. Less than one a night. So, look.
Four a week, something like that?
Yeah. If he hits a handful a week would be a lot. If he hits 250, 260, fine. Well, that just 218 and, you know, below .210 for much of it. I don't think he has a chance to make enough defensive plays to overcome that offense.
And this, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr.'s been on fire. His fire is .260. That's what he's hit
exactly
over the past
right.
3 weeks to get his batting average to whatever it is now.
And he's working with JD Martinez. The ball is in the air more. Like, okay, yeah, it's looked a little bit better, but he's had hot streaks before.
Eddie just found a good sell zone. Eddie, go ahead.
Yeah, what would you do with Nick Foles? Two things. Nick Foles, would you sell him while his stock is high? And number two, what's up with your hair? You look like Donald Trump. What's going on with the hair, Felger?
The hair is just simply growing it out, Eddie. Just letting it out. Nick
if Foles. I'm the Eagles, I hang on to Nick Foles this year because,
why?
Well, because of the structural damage to Carson Wentz's knee last year. Doesn't know whether or not he's going to be able to start the season. I think that's going to be a potential issue for them. You want a solid backup, the guy that just won the Super Bowl MVP. I would hang on to him. I wouldn't sell high on
that's
him right now.
I mean, that's a luxury, man.
If someone, but how much could you get for him at this point anyway? Like, it's too late.
At this point, what could you get for him?
Yeah, around the draft, you definitely could have got more. Now, like, I don't know. You're going to plug this guy in. He's immediately going to, like, learn a new offense. No, they're better off hanging on to him.
One more football thing that I wanted to get to. We have a couple more football things I want to get to, but here's one. Jalen Ramsey, the corner.
I love him.
Jalen Ramsey, the corner in Jacksonville, did an interview with the GQ where he just ripped everybody. It was tremendous. Tremendous. And he had a couple takeaway thoughts. One's this. This is sort of like GQ did with Jalen Ramsey what we've been doing with quarterbacks and coaches and just sort of giving you a thought on each guy.
That's great.
This is hysterical. Like, for example, so they just asked for like one word or they here's ESPN. They give you a sampling of his opinions on quarterbacks across the league. For example, Flacco, he sucks. Rodgers, doesn't suck. Brady, doesn't suck. Tyrod Taylor, underrated. They ask about Mariota, good game manager. Garoppolo, guess he's good, in quotations.
That one's worth reading, too, because he goes into more about how that was about scheme that day. And, you know, he begrudgingly says at the end, you're like, yeah, I guess Garoppolo's good.
Roethlisberger, decent at best. Eli Manning, Odell makes him. Nick Foles, good enough to win Super Bowl. Andrew Luck, don't think he's good. Stafford, he's straight. Ryan Tannehill, haven't heard good things.
Man, me either. I don't Matt, think anyone has.
Matt Ryan, overrated.
Oh, he ripped him good, too. It was awesome.
Awesome. Deshaun Watson, will be an MVP. Carson Wentz, will be an MVP. Jared Goff, average to above average. Dak Prescott, he's okay. Kirk Cousins, he's a winner.
His own guy, Blake Bortles. Blake, do what he got to do.
So Blake Bortles. Blake, do what he got to do. Like, how do you read that if you're Blake Bortles?
Oh, man.
Just enough to get by?
Yeah. It's the defense is the reason we're winning games. I know I'm not that good. The world knows there I'm not that good. My teammates know I'm not that good.
Oh, my God. It's great. It's priceless.
Josh Allen, number one pick of the Bills.
Trash.
He's trash.
He's trash. And Josh Allen, he's trash. What did you read the actual story? What background does he have on Josh Allen to say that he's trash?
He broke down the conference that he played in, some of the games in Wyoming, but there was an editor's note. Like, so Jalen Ramsey throws out all these statistics against bigger games and bigger schools that he played against last year, and like none of it was true. He was getting it confused maybe with a couple of prior seasons or when he was a sophomore, but he just, you know, he was throwing all these statistics and these games against, you know, like Iowa State or something like that, and it turns out the editor, like, you know, after the paragraph was like, yeah, these games actually didn't happen.
Okay.
He played at Wyoming. Every time they played a big school, like they played Iowa State, which is not a big school in my opinion because I went to Florida, and he threw 5 interceptions and they lost by a couple touchdowns or something like that.
Which didn't happen actually last season.
It never happened. So anyway, he did have something I thought it's so true about last year's AFC title game. I want to get to that next after Hook's update. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tonight, and as Ben, our producer out there on the simulcast side of NBC Sports Boston, points out, what makes this Jalen Ramsey thing so great, so rich, is that he's doing it while being suspended for violating media policies in Jacksonville.
Oh, that's right.
Because he got into some beef with a writer who...
He didn't want them tweeting out photos of an altercation that happened between him and a couple of other players.
So he's currently under suspension from the Jaguars for... screwing off to the media or just whatever, violating media policies.
Conduct detrimental to the team.
And then he goes and does his interview where he rips half the league.
That's so good.
Priceless.
I love him.
But here is where...
He's a nut who can back it up, too. I think he's
fantastic. He's a great player. Good player. You know, in that crazy, talented cornerback mold. But he had a thing about the AFC title game, I think it was just dead on. and I'm reading from the ESPN recap. In the AFC title game, the Jaguars had the Patriots on the ropes, but the Jags couldn't punch the Patriots out. Ramsey thinks the team lost, meaning the Jaguars lost, because it failed to trust its quarterback to win the game. Quote, I think in crunch time moments like last year's playoff game, not as a team, because we would have trusted him, but I think as an organization, we should have trusted him more to keep throwing it. Ramsey told GQ. We kind of got complacent and conservative, and I think that's why we lost. We started running it on first and second down, throwing it on third down every single time we went out there. The Patriots caught on to that. And he's so right.
I mean, I read this, Mike, and it was like, in my head, I'm like, I heard this before. When did I hear it? Oh, that's right, on the show that I work on.
Okay,
is exactly what you guys were saying the day after the AFC Championship game.
Blake Bortles did not cost him that game. It was Doug Marrone who tightened up, who was afraid of Blake Bortles. And
especially that fourth quarter. I mean, it was exactly that. Well, run, try to throw.
So there wasn't much second down running, but this is how they played the fourth quarter. Remember this. The Jaguars were up 20-10 in the fourth quarter when the Patriots fumble when Deion Lewis got stripped on that play down the sidelines.
Right, right.
And then the refs blew it. It should have been a return deep the other way, but they blew the whistle. But either way, so the Jaguars have a 20-10 lead with 13 minutes left and the ball. First down, Leonard Fournette up the middle, 2 yards. And then they go 3-and-out. Pats get the ball back. They score a touchdown. So now it's 20-17, and there's 8.5 minutes left. Jacksonville gets the ball back. First down, Leonard Fournette, left tackle, 1 yard. And then on the next play, they actually pick up a first down on a short pass over the middle. So they line up again, 1st and 10. Now 7 minutes left. Again, clinging to a 3-point lead in the fourth quarter. Leonard Fournette, left tackle for 1 yard. Then they go 3-and-out. Pats get the ball back. The Jaguars stop them. They stop them. So now the Jaguars have the ball just under 6 minutes left. 3-point lead. First down, Leonard Fournette up the middle, minus 1 yard. So on,
I mean, that the three straight drives, that first down is useless. They're not doing anything with it.
Murray, 4 consecutive first downs in the fourth quarter. They gained a yard or less, I guess 2 yards on one of them, on Leonard Fournette up the middle. And that is a case of, that's not Bortles' fault. That is the coach not trusting Blake Bortles. Now we can say, should he trust him? Borderline, but it's the NFL. How are you going to win that game? You can't line up and tell the defense you're going to run in that league. You can't do it. As much as you may love the running game or think that it's back, if you just do that, you will lose.
No, and the reason it didn't make sense is because he played so well the week prior in Pittsburgh. You know, let this kid rip. You know, like, fortune favors the bold. You got here. You're in this game. You're leading 20-10. Let him throw it. You can't get conservative there, and they deserve to lose with the way that they were. You know, they started play calling in that fourth quarter.
They got afraid. You can't, if you're afraid of your quarterback in the league, you're not going to win in New England. I can tell you that flat out. You're not going to win in New England. So even if your quarterback is questionable, if it's first down, you throw on first down.
You want to send some play action or something.
Sort of soften up the defense and then run and as a compliment and all that. Fine. You've got to attack the Patriots on defense in the passing game. Oh my God. And now you're up in the fourth quarter and here's your chance to win it. And you totally tighten up. So this is when you look at Jacksonville, you say, well, the quarterback's not good enough. I don't know. I don't think the coach is good enough. You got to put Bortles in a situation to succeed. And that sort of ties into a big picture thing that I've been thinking about with Brady's comment yesterday. Remember Brady's comment yesterday we had such fun with?
This team needs a great quarterback.
Okay, this team needs a great quarterback. And I ask you, Hook, do the Patriots need a good quarterback? I mean, I'm sorry, do the Patriots need a great quarterback to be a championship team?
Yeah.
Okay. The counter to that is, well, doesn't everybody?
No.
Does everybody need a great quarterback to be a championship team?
No.
No, I agree. They don't. Denver didn't need a great quarterback to win the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Was Peyton Manning playing at a great level?
No.
He's a nice little game manager and knew to get him into the right run look. But
that's an all-time defense, at least in the last 20 years.
Exactly. So if you've got a great all-time defense, you don't need a great quarterback. Let me ask you this. Didn't the last championship team just win with a backup quarterback?
Yeah, but he was great.
Did the Eagles need a great quarterback?
He was great for 2 weeks, Mike.
Did the Eagles need a great quarterback?
Overall, big picture, no, they didn't.
They didn't. They didn't need a great quarterback.
They had Nick Foles.
This is what I'm saying. Is he a great quarterback?
No.
So they had so much talent offensively or so much talent on both sides of the ball or on such a roll, whatever it was, whatever they had cooking there. they didn't need a great quarterback. So not every team needs a great quarterback. Like, because I think that's a...
No, to win one, you don't. I mean, Joe Flacco proved that 5-6 years ago, too. I mean, he played out of his mind for 3-4 weeks or whatever it was, and he played great, but that was, you know, small sample size. Bigger picture, no, you don't need a great quarterback to win one championship in a vacuum for one season.
Some teams do. So, I mean, the Green Bay Packers, if they don't have Aaron Rodgers, are...
Oh, they're garbage.
6-10, right? So Green Bay needs great quarterback play because they have very little else. Indianapolis those years with Peyton Manning needed great quarterback play because they had zero defense and marginal coaching. And so, I mean, there's
a
lot of...
And even then, the only one that they won was because the defense was healthy and Bob Sanders didn't get hurt, and they were good that year.
They still needed a great quarterback. And I think there's a lot of teams that you would look across the league and say they're not doing anything unless they get great quarterback play. So I don't know. When Brady said that, I think it was very easy to say, well, that goes for everybody. No, it doesn't go for everybody. But it does go for this team, doesn't it? It goes for this team.
I think it further proves that was a subtle shot at the receiving core in this roster. Yeah, this team needs a great quarterback, .. because the wide receiving core is a lineup of third stringers and nobody's, you know, they need a great quarterback. They need me.
This is a team that's not going to win on defense, I don't think.
No.
This is not a team that now can win with its backup quarterback. Not now. I mean, I think they'd make the playoffs, but I don't think they'd do anything in the playoffs with Brian Hoyer. So this is one of these teams, like, you are similar to Green Bay. Your coach is 10 times better. But if you don't get great quarterback play, that's it. And that's not the case for every team in the league. That is not. And that ain't the case for the team that beat you. The team that beat you had a backup quarterback there who's a borderline starter in the league. So, I don't know. That just struck me. But Jalen Ramsey, so right about last year. So right. Boy, did Jacksonville tighten up. And the whole reason Bortles had any success against you previously in that game or against Pittsburgh, because they were really creative with him, right? They were throwing him on first down, right, rolling him out, little creative stuff that, well, they weren't really exposing Bortles, but he was playing the position, and they were throwing the ball early. You know, they're throwing the ball on first and second downs, which is, I think Bortles is the exact guy you have to do that. And Blake Bortles is not. You line up, run, third and long. That ain't that guy. You can't do that with Blake Bortles. Yet they got to the fourth quarter, and that's what they did. And so, to me, Jacksonville did not lose that game because of their quarterback. They lost it because of their coach. But anyway, your thoughts on all this. I promise, right back to your phones in a long commercial-free segment next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We saw you putting in the extra work after practice here today. Does that sort of show your love for the game that you still have, that you're as committed to getting the little things right and being in top shape even at 41 years of age?
Yeah, I mean, I love doing it. I love trying to get wherever, you know, whatever you can, get a little extra. And we've had so many hot days, really hot days, or really wet days, and neither of those days are very good to do that extra stuff. So got to take advantage of these days while we can, and try to get a little extra work with the receivers and the tight ends, and that's what the goal is.
With Brady yesterday, and every time I hear something like that from him, I just roll my eyes a little bit. Like, really? He blows off the entire spring. He's a quarterback who blows off a passing camp. No one else in the entire league did that. Yet he spends a little time after practice the other day throwing to some of his receivers, and the reporters down there are like, "Oh, does that show your love for the game, Tom?" And he goes on about the extra work and all that. Like, would you spare me? Would you spare me? You just showed up. And apparently you weren't staying late the other days because it was too hot or too wet. So you spend a little extra time after one of these days, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, we're back to the first one in, last one out, and Tom Brady in the parking spot. Furthest thing from it. The team, from everything that you read, is behind. The offense, from everything that you read, is behind. And Brady's part of the reason, because he just showed up and they just really started practicing. So spare me that crap.
I stand by that those OTAs didn't matter, and Bill's just as much to blame.
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on everything so far? Some baseball, some football. Ryan in Somerville on that quarterback question about needing a great quarterback. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I just want to chime in on that. And didn't Baltimore Ravens do it not once but twice under Joe Flacco and Trent Dilfer?
You bet.
So, I mean, How do you feel about that? I mean, that's clearly not two not great quarterbacks. I mean, they're not even mediocre.
Absolutely. So there's no absolutes. Like, you have to have a great quarterback to win a Super Bowl. No, you don't. It helps, and I mean, that's why I would like to start. I think if you don't have a great quarterback, you really have to thread the needle, right? You've got to have an all-time defense.
Yeah, and that 2000 Ravens team was. But in 2012, when the Ravens won the title, it was because of Joe Flacco and how he played in the playoffs.
And Flacco got hot as hell.
11 touchdowns, no picks. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen in terms of making a deal with a devil or lightning in a bottle until this last year with Nick Foles.
So even though Flacco may not be a great quarterback, they got great quarterback play. And same with Philly last year. There's other teams that don't, and they just do it on defense, but it's hard, man. That's hard. I think those are...
As much of a sidecar Manning was in 2015, he had a decent AFC championship game. Who'd they play in that one? Oh, that's right, the Patriots.
That's right. Mm-hmm. No, but that's...
Maybe cover the tight end, Jamie Collins.
Was that the Super Bowl they lost?
No.
That was a Super Bowl Denver lost. Yeah, then they went and lost to Seattle in that Super Bowl, I think. Or is that 13? I have the years mixed up. Either way, Manning was not a great quarterback when Denver won their last Super Bowl. All right? He wasn't. So that team did not need a great quarterback. So not every team does. This one does. This one does. I think we all agree with that. Brian and Palmer on an earlier conversation about baseball. Go ahead, Brian. Brian. Okay, you can call us back. You know the number. Charlie in New Hampshire on a baseball thought. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, are you interested in making the season shorter?
In baseball? Yes, you bet.
How would you like to go back to like the 50s and 60s when they played doubleheaders on Sundays? Instead of playing the Sunday doubleheader, you play doubleheaders twilight on Saturday at 1 o'clock?
Okay, so Charlie, I'm just going to let you go. Back in the day, I don't know how old you are, Murray, if you're old enough to remember this, but remember when doubleheaders used to be doubleheaders? In other words, scheduled doubleheaders, you pay for one ticket and you sit there all day for two games. And it wasn't all day because back then the games were 2 hours long.
I was going to say, it would take like 8 hours, 9 hours to do that now.
So you can't do it now, but the teams don't do it now because they don't want to give up the game revenue. You might get a doubleheader where there's a reschedule from the previously in the season. And then they'll clear out the building and then bring in the second set of ticket holders, right?
The Red Sox did that this past week, like 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock, something like that.
So that happens, but the scheduled doubleheaders, no way. They don't want to. That means they have one less gate that they can count on, so that ain't going to happen. And, of course, every league except for football should go to fewer games. I mean, that's obvious. It ain't going to happen. No one's going to start giving back revenue like that. So it's just unrealistic, but of course it should be shortened.
It was up to me. The playoffs would start now, so it would be done by the time football starts.
Chris in Braintree, what do you got, Chris?
Hey, so I was just wondering if you guys are any bit worried about the wide receiver core. We've been without Edelman, first four games. Philip Dorsett,
yes.
No touchdowns, and then Eric Decker. What do you have, one touchdown with the Titans?
Chris, their receiving core blows. It's a huge issue. You know, to the point where we're comparing it to some of the worst groups Brady's ever had. 06, 2013. I think this is the second worst. I think 06 was worst.
Rashay Caldwell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gabriel.
And 06 didn't have...
Troy Brown at the end.
Yeah. And 06 had no Rob Gronkowski. You still have Rob Gronkowski. And Edelman will come back. I think he'll be diminished between the knee and the steroids and all that. But it's still Julian Edelman. That 06 team had nothing approaching. Even Edelman on a bad knee off of steroids at 32. Edelman would have been by far the best option there in 06. So 06 is still the capper. 2013 was pretty bad, too. Both those years, you went deep into the playoffs. You went to the AFC title game, but that's where it stopped. So as you look at this group, it's similar to those groups. And it just sort of, that's another reason you need a great quarterback, because the weapons around that quarterback suck. You need the quarterback to prop them up.
I even felt pretty good about Jordan Matthews, considering how well he played his first couple of years with Philadelphia, and now he's not even here anymore.
0.0. 0.0 out of that guy. I was right not to remember his name.
It's a good thing they traded Brandon Cooks.
So
didn't need that guy.
Well, for a running back, let's trade Brandon Cooks for a running back who's got a history of knee problems in college. That's great. John in East Boston. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Couple quick thoughts on the Jaguars. First of all, Doug Marone's a total tool, but that's not the reason why they lost. The play calling was not that bad in the fourth quarter.
Oh, it's brutal.
With that running back and that, hold on, with that running back and that defense, you're up 10 on the road, defending champs. That's kind of Blake Bortles. You want to roll the dice with Blake? Mike, have fun with that all day long.
Oh, no. That, no, it's great, John. Let's just hand it off to Lawrence Fournette up the middle. Four straight times. Good call by you. That was great. Excellent.
Okay, so here we go. So
is that what you do in Pop Warner? You turn around and hand to the running back four straight times up the middle with the game on the line?
Mikey, babe, what happens to the clock if you throw an incomplete pass? Does it stop? Yeah. So you're even more screwed.
What happens when you line up in a running formation and hand the ball to the running back when the defense knows it's coming? Second and nine.
At least the clock keeps running, Mikey. At least it keeps running. But listen, the bigger issue is Jalen Ramsey. He just replaced Travis Kelce, the biggest tool in the league. That is a ticking time bomb, that kid. And that defense has 0.0 respect for the head coach. The fact that he's spouting off like that in GQ, that's the story right there, not the play calling.
Oh, my God, the play calling was so bad. So bad. I can't believe you're defending. I mean, especially when you saw how it turned out.
Well, no, nobody else can be good, Mike. Don't you understand? No, the Patriots were the reason, and it was Brady. Brady was phenomenal in that fourth quarter.
That's a sensey Patriots. I get it.
You can't give credit to anybody else.
It's just that the Patriots played amazing defense there. It wasn't that Jacksonville lined up in a running formation and telegraphed four straight runs into the center of
other
the line.
Other teams
at first
don't lose. The Patriots win. That's the difference.
If you want to talk to me about Jacksonville, I don't fear them. I don't. I think they're going to. Again, if you've got a mediocre quarterback, you've got to thread the needle. Everything else has to be perfect. Your defense has to be dominant. The coaching has to be great. You got to get on a roll.
And the other thing, too.
Jacksonville's chance. They had a 10-point lead and the ball in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And how many times going into each and every NFL season, the team that's the sexy pick, the team that's on the come, that has all the hype surrounding it, they don't live up to the expectations. The Jaguars are one of those teams this year. They're going to have a down year.
I feel that way as well. Coming back to earth, last year was their chance, and they blew it because, John, they decided to go back and play.
We're going to run the rock.
Big
right
Eight
up the
college
middle.
Football. We're going to right down their throat and establish the run at the end of the game. Idiots. John in North Attleboro. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. It's been a long time since I called you, but I love your show. I watch it every day.
All right, John, we missed you.
Michael, can you do me a question? I got like two questions, but I want to address Jimmy for a second.
Do it.
Hello.
Jimmy.
Yes?
I watch Zolak and Bertrand in the morning. Zolak drives me crazy with those sunglasses. Can you go back to your own self and take them off?
Look, I'm going to read you an email I literally just got from another listener, just real quick, too, here. This is from a gal named Becky. Emailing you all, as it is, I'm a groupie for Felger and Maz. Murray, lose the Zoe wannabe sunglasses. Looks ridiculous, and regardless of what you say, the other guys don't need sunglasses to be on stage. If there's a lighting issue, fix it. You're your own guy. You don't need to be a wannabe, which is what you appear with the shades. Basically, what you just said in this phone call. Here's the thing. The lights, I've been told they've been fixed. They haven't been fixed. They just moved them a hair. They're still as bright as the sun. I've been getting headaches, so my comfort is paramount to me being comfortable in the broadcast. I'm going to continue to look like a tool and wear the sunglasses.
Well, that's all right. You know, but I do love you, and
Thank you.
Not going to change nothing. But Michael,
yes,
I believe Belichick and Brady will not get along this year. Belichick is not going to do him any favors as far as wide receivers or any pass catchers.
Okay.
When he went into the draft, Michael, he picked a running back.
I understand, John, and thank you for the call. And I think you look cool in the shades, Murray.
Thank you, Mike.
I guess I have a developing opinion on Belichick purposely sabotaging Brady through crappy receivers. Right? I've stopped short of saying that Bill would purposely put his team in a bad spot just to screw with Brady, because I don't think it's that. I don't think he would do that. Like, that's just, that feels like it's too much.
Prove your worth, pretty boy.
Theory. It's too much. Yeah. It's too much. But flip it, Felger, a little bit. And that is, if Bill really liked his starting quarterback, if Bill was really tight with him and really liked him.
Or if he saw a future with him.
If Jimmy Garoppolo were the starting quarterback, you mean to say.
Would Bill have done this to Jimmy Garoppolo?
Mm.
Would Jimmy Garoppolo be looking out here going into the second, third week of training camp and seeing Devin Lucien and Braxton Berrios and I can't even tell you who else, whatever bags of crap are on this defense. Do you think Bill would have left Jimmy Garoppolo in this spot? Or a quarterback that he liked? Because we see how he treats players that he likes, and we see how he treats players that he doesn't. So if he liked his quarterback, would he have done this at the receiver position?
Bet you Brandon Cooks is still out there if Jimmy Garoppolo's.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks was brought here for Jimmy Garoppolo last offseason, I think.
Or if you look at some of the wide receivers, this was going to be fun. I mentioned to you yesterday during a commercial break. Around where they picked Isaiah Wynn and where they took Sony Michel, a couple of wide receivers went. In fact, right after Isaiah Wynn, DJ Moore out of Maryland at number 24 overall.
To where?
He went to the Panthers, Carolina Panthers, and then the Atlanta Falcons took Calvin Ridley, who's a stud out of Alabama. At least he was at college. So it'll be fun to look at those couple of names who were around where they drafted those guys. Maybe if Garoppolo was here, maybe one of those guys would be in a Patriots uniform.
I don't know.
Maybe.
As long as Bill doesn't take a wide receiver in the second round, we're good.
Look at it that way. So we have no commercials. We have an update from Hook. Then we come back. And when we do come back, I want to hit on another thing that Hook ripped on us for. That we, you know, his rant against us last week. He ripped on us for already jumping ahead to Kyrie Irving leaving the Celtics. So just in honor of Hook, we're going to do this topic because, Jimmy, is Kyrie Irving leaving the Celtics?
I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll talk it right after the update. No commercials here.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Nas on 98.5 The Sports Hub.